Sermon text tonight is Hebrews 2, verse 12. I'm going to read once again verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. When we were singing Psalms 48, 40, and 149, did you hear Jesus singing? Hebrews 2, verse 12 says that when the church sings, Jesus sings with his people in the church. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's what he says. If you didn't know that that's true, then you've missed something very important in singing God's praises, something that you ought to know, because what Hebrews 2 verse 12 says is the most important thing that can be said about the singing of the church, that Jesus sings in the church when his people lift up their voices in praise to God. And that's why I asked that question. If you were listening, you should have heard not just the voices of those who are sitting near you, but also the voice of Jesus himself. That's the subject of this evening's sermon, Jesus singing in the church. And we're going to look at how that happens. That's probably a question that you're already asking. How can that be true? The Word of God in Hebrews 2, verse 12 must be true, but how? Then we're going to look at why that's so important. I said a moment ago that that is the most important thing about the singing of the church. What Hebrews 2, verse 12 says. And finally, we're going to look briefly at the fact that this takes place in the midst of the church, as Hebrews 2, verse 12 says. Before we get into all of that, however, I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles in front of you, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 22, the Word of God in Hebrews 2, verse 12, is quoting Psalm 22, verse 22. Only there are a few differences between Psalm 22 and Hebrews 2. Psalm 22, verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Obviously the verse that's being quoted in Hebrews 2. But you'll notice that instead of speaking of the church, Psalm 22 speaks of the congregation. And instead of talking about singing, Psalm 22 just says, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. It's the Holy Spirit Himself who inspired the writer of the book of Hebrews to quote that verse and to make those changes. It's not a mistake, of course, in the Word of God, but part of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in Hebrews wanted to make sure when he made those changes in Psalm 22 that we understood that Psalm 22 was talking about the church. That word congregation is a reference to the church of all ages, especially in Psalm 22 to the church of the Old Testament. And the Spirit wanted to make sure that we understood that the reference to praising God had to do especially with the singing of the church. And so under the inspiration of the Spirit, Hebrews 2 verse 12 is a little bit different from Psalm 22. And the changes are what help us to see what we were talking about a moment ago. That when the church sings, Christ lifts up his voice among God's people. But Psalm 22, I want to point that out now, though we're going to come back to it. Psalm 22 is important, first of all, because it's so clearly the voice of Christ in Psalm 22. And you only have to look back to the first verse of the psalm to see that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now the heading of the psalm tells us that those were first of all the words of David. But we know from the gospel accounts that those are so much the words of Christ that when he was dying on the cross, suffering during the horrors of those 3 hours of darkness, that he didn't even have to think of what to say because he had said it already in Psalm 22 through David. But that's an important part of our understanding too, the fact that it's Christ who speaks in Psalm 22 is important as far as understanding how it is that Christ sings in his church. And that's the question that we're going to try to answer now. Now, one reason why Hebrews 12 verse 2 is true is that Christ lives in the hearts of his people. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. He is my life. By the work of God's saving grace. And the result of that is that when God's people sing, then Christ can be heard in their singing. The Christ of Psalm 22 verse 1. Christ crucified. Christ forsaken of God that we might never be forsaken of him. Christ in his dying agonies as he suffered for the sins of his people can be heard when they sing God's praises. Amazing, isn't it? It mustn't, if that's true then, of course, it mustn't be the case that I, frustrated with a fellow believer, unhappy with them, hurt by them, stand when the church is singing with my mouth shut and nothing to sing with my fellow believers. I'm really refusing then not to sing with them, but with Christ who lives in the hearts of his people. And that is not an uncommon thing, that God's people show their frustration with their fellow believers by standing silent when the church sings. But that's not the main reason for how Christ sings in the church. I suppose you could say that that's true no matter what God's people sing. Even if they're singing the words of men in various hymns, you can probably hear Christ in their singing. In the very fact that they enjoy singing the words of those hymns reflects on Christ's presence in their hearts. But the reason why Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true is that Christ sings with his people in the church when the Psalms are sung. And that's the reason why the Protestant Reformed churches and why you hear sing the Psalms. Others also, of course. When we sing the words of men in the worship of the church, then the voice of Christ is not heard. Just the voice of someone like Isaac Watts or another hymn writer. But when the Psalms are sung, then Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true. That's how Christ sings in the church. Why the Psalms? Well, that has to do with the uniqueness of the Psalms. Everything in Scripture is the inspired and infallible Word of God. It's all the Word of Christ. No question about that. Should never be any question about that. But the Psalms are unique. And the Psalms are unique because in them, Christ speaks in a very personal way of all his experiences as he lived our life here on earth, was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and knows all our needs. When we read the Psalms, as we so often do, then we say to ourselves, that's exactly how I feel. And that's true. But we mustn't forget when we say that, that it's first of all Christ who felt that way, spoke that way, said those words in this or that psalm. They are the record of his life among us as the one who was in made like us in all things except sin. We sang a little while ago Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. We sing that and we say, yes, yes, that is exactly my experience. But those are not, first of all, my words or yours, but Christ's. And if you read on in Psalm 40, beyond the verses that we sang, you'll see that. No sacrifice nor offering didst thou at all desire. Mine ears thou bored, sin offering thou, and burnt did not require. That's Christ. Hebrews 10 says so, putting those words in his mouth. And if those words are his, then so must also be those first words. And ours only in him and with him. His first. And only then ours. But what's true of Psalm 40 is true of every psalm. Now that means, of course, that when you're reading the psalms, studying them, the very first question that should be asked is, where is Christ in this psalm? Because I tell you, if he's not there, then there's nothing for you in that psalm either. Where is he? How do I hear his voice in this particular psalm? Now, in some psalms, it's easier to hear his voice. Psalm 22, verse 1 is very easy. Other psalms, it's more difficult. But the psalms, Ephesians 5 says that in speaking of singing, the psalms are most emphatically the word of Christ. And that's the way that Christ sings in the church. When you sing, when I sing those opening words of Psalm 22, my God, my God, why hast thou me forsaken? Why so far art thou from helping me and from my words that roaring are? When you and I sing them, then we are not just singing the words of Christ, but he is lifting his voice up with ours in song. That's the point that Hebrews 2 verse 12 is making. Something to think about, isn't it? That means, of course, among other things, that there isn't much point in singing anything but the psalms in the worship of the church. This is the reason, perhaps more than any other passage in Scripture, why the church ought to sing the psalms, and if she does, ought never to give up that blessed privilege. But as I said, Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true when the psalms are sung. In them, Christ's voice is heard. Not in the words of men. Why is that so important? That Christ sings in the church. Well, if you think about it, you ought to be able to answer that question for yourself. But I'll tell you anyway. This is so important because if Christ does not sing with us, then our singing will never be acceptable to God. Never. What can I say? What can you say in the worship of God that's acceptable to God except through Jesus Christ? This is a wonderful example of the fact that we can do nothing, say nothing for God's glory and honor apart from Him. Him, we saw that in Psalm 22, Him crucified, slain for the sins of His people, suffering all the wrath of God against their sins, in order to obtain for them righteousness and eternal life. Nothing ever apart from Christ. That's why, first of all. You see that? Understand that? It isn't the fact that some of us are very good singers that makes our singing acceptable to God. The singing of a person who can barely follow a melody or croak the words of a psalm is as acceptable to God as the singing of someone who has a beautiful voice and can even help carry the singing of the church. But only through Jesus Christ. There wouldn't be any point in singing if Hebrews 2, verse 12 was not true. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's one reason why. Another reason why it must be true. When the Psalms are sung, that Christ sings with His people, another reason why that must be true is that then the singing becomes the gospel in the church. We know, I think you know anyway, that when the gospel is preached, then Christ, somehow in a way that I don't think any preacher will ever understand, Christ speaks to His people. It has to be that way. There's no man who can stand behind a pulpit, change hearts, change minds, convict, comfort. Only Christ can do that. And therefore it must be true that He speaks through the preaching of the gospel. My sheep, He says in John 10, hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. But what's true in the preaching is also true if If Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true, and it must be, of course, then that also takes place in the singing. Then Christ's voice is heard, speaking peace to his people, comforting them, assuring them of eternal life, blessing them as only he can do, teaching them, admonishing them, supplying all their needs. There's a beautiful example of that in Psalm 88. If you've ever noticed, Psalm 88 is a psalm that doesn't have a ray of light in it, except for the very first words of the psalm. O Lord God of my salvation. The rest of the psalm is all suffering, trouble, grief, an outpouring of sorrow. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. That's verse 3. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. O Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. And so on. And then if you expect that the psalm is going to end on a more positive note, it doesn't. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. How could you sing that? When I read a psalm like that, then I think I can understand a little bit why some people don't want to sing the psalms. There's nothing cheerful in that psalm. Nothing heartwarming in that psalm. It's all gloom and darkness. And though we might feel, as the psalm does, we probably would not find much comfort in singing the psalm. We'd probably even feel that it would be wrong to make in the presence of God such an outpouring of grief without any acknowledgement except in those opening words of his saving grace. But when you realize that the words of Psalm 88 are the words of Christ in his suffering, then you sing the words of Psalm 88 knowing that he's the one who by his agonies has removed all the sting of our suffering. Who has made it possible even for us in our trials to sing with joy and thanks. Hearing the voice of Christ crucified in Psalm 88 makes Psalm 88 the gospel and something that can be sung by God's people and sung with thanks. Doesn't it? Makes all the difference in the world in the singing of that one psalm. So there's another reason why it's so important. And that parallels to what the Word of God says about singing in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. That the purpose of singing is not that I feel good, but the purpose of singing is in the church is that we teach and admonish one another. Or that Christ teaches and admonishes us in the singing for our salvation. That's another reason. There's a third reason right here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Christ says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's another reason why it's so important to sing the Psalms and to hear in the Psalms the voice of Christ. It is Christ doing what he promises to do in Hebrews 2 verse 12, declaring the name of God to his brothers and sisters in the church. And if you know anything from the scriptures, then you know that that great name of God is the most important thing that you will ever hear about in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's our peace, our comfort, our joy, our blessedness. Everything is in that great name of God. God the Creator, God the one who holds all things in his sovereign hands. God who does all things, not so that I feel good, but for the glory of his own name. How I need to hear that great name of God. And when the Psalms are sung, that's what Christ is doing in the church as he sings with his people. God, the only Savior. God, the one who controls all the circumstances of our lives and controls them in such a way that he is able to make everything work for our salvation. God, who controls the fall of a leaf and of a sparrow, and who most certainly then cares for me, his child. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and my Father for Christ's sake. God the one who in eternity decreed and planned all things in the smallest detail, and who brings them to pass with sovereign power. You know, I am absolutely sure of that. You know that there is nothing that comforts, that admonishes, that builds up, that gives peace as that great name of God. And you don't have to read very far into the Psalms to find out that that is what Christ is declaring there above everything else. That name above all names, which you and I, by the grace of God, will be honoring and praising forever in heaven. I don't know that anyone would need more reasons than that to sing the Psalms and to sing them believing that Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true. That takes place in the church. That too is part of Hebrews 2 verse 12. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Wonderful truth. The true in the church of Jesus Christ. And that's why we believe that the whole practice of singing the Psalms applies to the worship of the church of Jesus Christ. So that the gospel is heard in the singing. So that the singing of the church is really, truly part of the worship of God, acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ. What you do elsewhere, the Word of God doesn't speak to that here in Hebrews 2 verse 12. Although the Word of God here certainly bears on all our singing. Why would I want to hear the words of a man and try to comfort myself with those when Christ speaks in the Psalms as the one who knows all my needs, all the secrets of my heart, all that I'm going through? And knows it not only from heaven, but as the one who lived his life here on earth among us. But it has to do with the worship of the church. And that's why, as I said, psalm singing must be the rule in the church of Jesus Christ. But not just the rule. It must be something that's cherished and loved for the reason that's given here in the Word of God. Something which the people of God count a privilege and which they will not easily surrender. It all comes down to this. Personally, really comes down to one word then, sing. It's not just an unimportant part of the worship of the church. Not if Hebrews 2 verse 12 is true. Not something that we do to get us in the right mood for the preaching, but very really and truly as much a part of the worship of the church as the preaching of the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. So, sing. But as the Word of God says elsewhere, sing with understanding. Sing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, joining your voice consciously and deliberately with Him who sings in the Psalms. And sing too in the expectation that even in heaven, when the preaching of the gospel is no longer needed, when we're in the presence of Him to whom we now lift our hearts in prayer, when those things are finished and done with, then, along with Christ, God's people will still be singing, as we find them singing in the book of Revelation. Singing forever the praises of God and joining their voice with Him to whom they belong. God grant it here, wherever his church is gathered. Amen. Father, bless what's been said here this evening. May we hear in it the voice of Christ reminding us of the importance and value of our singing. And Father, may his voice always mingle with ours as sweet incense, making our singing acceptable to thee, a sweet smelling savor to thee, the God of our salvation. Forgive us our sins, the sins committed in speaking of these things and in of hearing of them. Forgive us all our sins for the sake of him who suffered and died for them on the cross and who now lives and reigns, our great Redeemer, in heaven. In his name we pray. Amen.